This is the Outsource Accelerator Podcast, exploring business and outsourcing mastery. Let's do it. Hi, and welcome to another episode of the Outsource Accelerator Podcast. This is episode number 135. My name is Derek Gallimore of Outsource Accelerator, and we are joined again today by Carl Okab of Carl Okab Web Design Services. Carl was and still is an internet prodigy. He started blogging when he was 13 and caught the not only the Philippines but the attention of the world headlines for that. So a super interesting journey. Today we look a little bit broader and talk about the education and potential of the new kind of economies and how that can affect people in the Philippines, but also international trade and the full impact of how this whole world is changing through the internet and technology and online earnings. So if you want to know any more about Carl or want any of the show notes, then go to outsourceaccelerator.com/135. Enjoy. Hi, and welcome back, everybody. Today, I am joined again by Carl Okab. Hi, Carl.
Hi, Derek.
And Carl is a child prodigy of the blogger world. He started blogging when he was 13, which is a long, long time ago in the technology world. I'll get that backstory from him, but today, I just really want to sort of tap into his insight into the future of agencies, online agencies, Philippine outsourcing, and kind of the SEO and tech front. So thanks so much for joining us, Carl. And if you don't mind, just give us a quick introduction of how you came to be here.
Sure. It started 10, 11 years ago when I was 13 years old. And basically, I started through blogging about the online game we were playing back then. And then after college, after graduation, using my expertise with WordPress, with software, WordPress themes, I started my own agency. And right now, we are creating websites for our partners, our web design, internet marketing agency partners in the States.
Right. Fantastic. And so you kind of started this nearly like 10, 11, 12 years ago, but you continued, started at 13, you continued to graduate through college, which is obviously very good strategy and advice. You built this kind of 3 years ago, and you cater mainly to the US, which I find really interesting. Can you comment, I suppose, on you started early, you started young. How would you suggest that you got all of your knowledge? Was it from the Philippines? Was it from the schooling? Or did you find that actually everything's online and, you know, from a kind of the world?
Well, back then, internet marketing wasn't something that you can get formal education. So most of the stuff that I learned about programming, designing, WordPress, they were definitely all from the internet. And, you know, if you have enough passion, most of the stuff that's on the internet, you can use that. And, you know, you can learn from that to build a business like what I did.
Yeah. And what is the key, do you think? And is it awareness? Because there, you know, I'm a massive proponent for the Philippines and the potential of the Philippines. And yet there's still, obviously, you know, many millions of people here which are sort of towards a poverty line. And I see this as a huge opportunity for people to earn good income and income that can support their families and provinces. But obviously there is an education piece. But do you see those barriers as, you know, people can now self-educate a bit more, they can learn the ropes through practice? Do you see there being more of an opportunity generally?
Well, I poverty, I think, shouldn't be a problem when starting, something online, because actually the in the Philippines, I think the Philippines is one of the top countries that's using Facebook, because almost everyone here has got data. So that the connection and the technology is not a problem. The problem, I think, is the mindset, because in my opinion, most of the Filipinos, they're raised not to, start a business. They're raised to be employees. The regular rat race, get a good education, graduate college, and then work, and then just work. So I guess the mindset is still the problem with Filipinos. That's why not a lot of Filipinos are in the internet marketing industry yet. But I think eventually it'll catch up, especially because a lot of movers are here in the Philippines, and they're influencing Filipinos.
And you got most of your practical education from forums and things like that. And you mentioned also that your younger brother, who's 8 or 9 years younger, also got a very real education on YouTube and, is earning good money from that. Do you see that the new being the new way? Like people just getting involved, people, kind of joining forums, people like using MOOCs to educate themselves. Is that how things are going to pan out, or do you still see value in the traditional education and degrees and things like that?
I definitely still see value in traditional education, but I think, it lacks something, because what pushed me to do what I'm doing right now, and what pushed my brother to, create his own channel and make money through YouTube, is the financial advice from our dad. Our dad finished an MBA. So he is, well aware of financial gurus like Robert Kiyosaki, and the Rich Dad Poor Dad book is one of the first books that he wanted me to read.
Nice.
And because of that, I learned that, you wouldn't get rich, or you wouldn't get rich just by working for someone. You have to, let your money work for you. You start a business, you delegate, and you grow. So I think that's even though the standard education right now is still important, I think it's lacking financial education that everyone will be using in the future. I mean, some subjects like, say, calculus or Filipino something, some of those subjects. We won't be able to use that until we die. But financial literacy is something that everyone would use after they graduate. And they're not teaching it in schools. So that's why, even though, there's this valedictorian, there's this, someone on the honor roll, they got good grades, but, unfortunately, some of them, they're not financially free. Because I think the reason why is because the schools don't teach, financial stuff and techniques on how to manage your finances.
Yeah, it's and you say it's like I think it's becoming more relevant that there are there's we're sort of teaching possibly the wrong things. There's a lot of things that aren't necessarily, as you say, that relevant to creating a successful life, however you deem that. And having sort of financial sensibility, but then is very important. But then also the essence of learning how to learn, and I think that that's an incredibly powerful tool, isn't it? In that being
Oh
able to
yeah,
seek
definitely.
out the resources you need and also follow your passions, which obviously you seem to have been encouraged to do as a child. And I think that, yeah, maybe that's potentially lacking, but such a big opportunity, isn't it? If people are just sort of shown the way.
Oh, yeah. And I think there are a lot of sites right now that's promoting that. There's Udemy, where you can watch, you know, training videos for programming or whatever. There's masterclass.com. There's, I think, what's this service? Anyway.
Yeah, Coursera. There's a huge amount popping up. Yeah, we've just got to get people using them.
But they can also find it for free. But, you know, those services make it easy for just, you know, a couple of bucks.
Mm.
So that everything is, you know, step by step and organized for them.
Good. And, you know, you're kind of proudly a part of the outsourcing world, whether you necessarily kind of brand yourself as that or not. Do you see it, and you know, I'm a massive supporter and proponent of the outsourcing sector. It produces over 10% of the Philippines GDP, employs a lot of well-educated white-collar people. Do you see this as continually expanding? Where do you see the direction of kind of Philippine outsourcing in the future?
Yeah, definitely. Because the good thing here in the Philippines is not only are Filipinos hard workers, but most Filipinos can speak English very well. So, you know, I think that's the edge that the Philippines have compared. That's the edge that the Philippines has compared to other countries, because the local, you know, Filipino accent is not hard compared to other countries. So we can easily communicate. And that's the reason why, you know, a lot of call centers are here in the Philippines, because we can easily communicate to other countries. So definitely outsourcing will be growing here. And not just, you know, through call centers, but also on development, on programming, because, you know, there are a lot of good programmers here in the Philippines that's comparable to programmers on other countries. I mean, the I Love You virus was by a Filipino, right?
Oh, really? Wow. That's a dubious kind of award, isn't it? But, wow. Crazy.
Yeah, it went into millions, I think, of computers.
Wow, that's not so good, is it? And the and I also think that, you know, like hardcore coding is maybe not you know, and it certainly hasn't played out yet to be a specialty.
I'm sorry, hardcore
coding, you know, dev work, okay. You know, hasn't played out to be such a specialty. But I think Filipinos really have a a very close affinity for more the design aspects, the kind of creativity, the kind of UI, UX, like all these things that websites, it's so important to be, and also the kind of graphics and design. It's
well, you know, actually, I see hardcore coders. They're usually hired in the States or other countries. So instead of, you know, local companies getting them, go to other countries, you know, because the pay is much higher there.
Yeah, is that right? Yeah, so you do see a lot, like they develop and then they kind of get out of the country kind of thing, do they?
Oh, yeah, I've had a couple of programmers do that.
Right. Wow, crazy. Huh? And why don't they, do they feel that it's a better opportunity to go overseas still? Because I still imagine they could do that remotely. They could earn almost a Western salary, but on, you know, within a very cheap environment.
Well, yeah, they can definitely do that. I mean, that would be the best scenario. But like I said a while ago, that, you know, Filipinos, they want to work. So instead of, you know, being a freelancer or working home base, they want to, you know, just work for someone so that they would feel stable. But, you know, it's actually sometimes it's the other way around. You know, you can be more stable if you work for yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. And it is like the kind of economy is getting more and more like that, isn't it, in terms of a kind of contractor relationship with businesses. So, Carl Okab, the web design agency, We've spoken a lot about the future, but where do you see that evolving? Where do you see that going? Both, I suppose, in terms of your aspirations for growth, but also in response to the evolution of the market and what people need and want. Where do you see it going?
Well, of course, it's already happened. The first thing with the web design development is going mobile first. But I think SEO would go mobile first as well. So that's the side that we're we're concentrating on. But aside from that, we're also concentrating on voice SEO, because there are a lot of hands-free devices right now. I mean, I have here an Alexa from Amazon, and I can ask her or it whatever information I need. And then I can also do that on my phone through Siri. So, but they all, you know, just look for results on the internet. So I think aside from mobile-first SEO, mobile-first design, we should also concentrate on hands-free devices, like, you know, like those assistants, as they call it.
Interesting. Because that wraps up into, there's a push. I mean, this is a bit of a rabbit hole, but there's a push for more video content as opposed to whatever written content. There's obviously a big kind of podcast movement, YouTube, Facebook Live. But then, as you say, there's also kind of voice commands. And these Alexa and respondents in that. Are you seeing that there is a big shift? And I imagine Google is maybe trying really hard to keep up with all this so that they can scan all of the videos, all of the podcasts, but also then make it kind of SEO ready for voice commands. Does it all link into each other? And then just briefly, how do you manage that? How do you make voice SEO compliant stuff?
Well, for example, if you ask Google Assistant or the Amazon Assistant, they'd still base their answers on search results. Or if they cannot give you the answer directly, they send it to your device and still give you search results. So it's still SEO, of course, but writing it for the Google Assistant, because there's a certain they're looking for certain keywords. You know, for example, you want to ask when did John Lennon die, so you have to write that content in a way that the Google Assistant or whatever assistant is looking for. So instead of going around it and saying a lot of things about John Lennon is going to think, you have to be direct on your answer. John Lennon died on, so that when the assistant looks for that, they'd see that keyword and that sentence construction, they'd use yours. And eventually, of course, they could also send your website to the phone, so that, you know, the user can view it.
Right. Fascinating. Yeah, and I suppose that plays into the kind of Google snippets a little bit, doesn't it?
At
the top
snippets
of the page, you have the almost the summary of the article, so that Google can incorporate that into the snippets.
Actually, because of that, I've noticed a slight decrease in click-through rate on the search results.
Right.
Because when someone's looking for something, if you have rich snippets, they don't have to click the link. They get the answer right away.
Of course, yeah. So there's both good and bad to it, yeah. Interesting. Thank you so much, and I've certainly picked your brain in terms of the future of SEO. But if anyone wants to get in touch with you, Carl, how can they do that?
They can just simply go to Google and search my name, Carl Ochab, or they can visit my website, www.carlochab.com.
Fantastic, and thank you so much for joining us.
All right, thanks, Derek.
That was Carl Ochab. I hope you enjoyed that. Of course, from his web design agency called Carl Ochab. If you want to get in touch with him or know any more about this episode, then go to our show notes, which is at outsourceaccelerator.com/135. And of course, as always, if you want to email us, if you want to ask us anything, then just drop us an email to ask@outsourceaccelerator.com. See you next time.